Not. Aham. I. Mama. Mine. Iti. Thus. Bhavah. Consciousness. Ayam. This. Purushe. In the living entity. Vyavadhiyate. Is separated. Yavat. So long. Buddhi. Intelligence. Manaham. Mind. Aksha. Senses. Artha. Sense objects. Guna. Of the material qualities. Vyuha. A manifestation. He. Certainly. Anadiman. The subtle body. Existing since time immemorial. Translation. As long as there exists the subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects, and the reactions of the material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative objective, the gross body, exist as well. Please say responsively, as long as there exists the subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects, and the reactions of the material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative objective, the gross body, exist as well. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The desires in the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego cannot be fulfilled without a gross body composed of the material elements, earth, water, air, fire, and ether. When the gross material body is not manifest, the living entity cannot factually act in the modes of material nature. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the subtle activities of the mind and intelligence continue due to the sufferings and enjoyments of the living entity's subtle body. The consciousness of material identification, such as I and mine, still continues because such consciousness has been extant from time immemorial. However, when one transfers to the spiritual world, by virtue of understanding Krishna consciousness, the actions and reactions of both gross and subtle bodies no longer bother the spirit soul. Nahang mameti bhavo yang puruṣe vyavidhiyate yavad buddhi mano kṣārta gunav vyuho hyanādiman. As long as there exists a subtle material body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects, and the reactions of the material qualities, the consciousness of false identification and its relative objective, the gross body, exist as well. Om agyana tamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshura militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa karamayam tadati swapadantikam. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna preshtaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swaminita namane. Namaste sarasati devaya gauravani pracharnya nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatadesha tarnyam. So we're very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in Sri Vrindavan Dham during the auspicious month of Shravan in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. So this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam consists of Narada Muni's purport to the King Puranjan story. So Narada was very concerned about the spiritual well-being of King Prachinabarhi, who was very much attached to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. And so after delivering his sons, he came to... Can't hear? He came... Better? Sorry. He came to King Prachinabarhi to instruct him as to his spiritual welfare. So because King Prachinabarhi was very much attached, he had to, and he could not accept direct instructions about the spiritual nature. He thought it necessary to give an analogy. So he gave the analogy of King Puranjan, Puranjan meaning the spirit soul, and how the spiritual soul progresses through a particular body, and how he's like a king in a fort, the fort of the material body, and how he has so many soldiers, etc., etc. But ultimately he has to be defeated. So King Puranjan becomes defeated by an opposing army. And, of course, this is analogous to death. And then he has to take, because he was very much attached to his wife, so he had to take the body of a woman in the next life. So after telling this story, he definitely got King Prachinabarhi's attention. That, yes, this is, I have something to be worried about. And you know, if I don't behave myself properly in this life, then the next life will not be so pleasant as this life. So he got his attention, and then in this chapter, he gives the tattva, the spiritual analysis of this story. So, first of all, or he says many things, but what's already Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that at this point, Narada Muni has already dealt with one major objection, which is that the subtle body continues to exist after death. So therefore, it cannot be said that there is another doer, enjoyer in each life. So one may make an argument after hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. One may make an argument. No, every life is a separate life, and every body is a different doer, a different enjoyer. And that's that one life is everything for that and then they, at the end of that life, they go to heaven, or they go to hell, or they go to some place permanent. That there's no such thing as reincarnation. The living entity comes into one body, and that body is all in all for that living entity. And the argument is that, Narada Muni's already defeated that argument by explaining about the subtle body and how it carries the subtle body to the next life. So that argument has been taken care of. So now Vishwanath points out that there's a possible second doubt in this regard. He said, we know that this subtle body does not act alone. The subtle body requires a gross body in order to fulfill its desires. So, that being the fact, why isn't it that when the gross body dies, there's no longer any vehicle for the subtle body to function, so therefore it should become liberated? So this is the argument that the Srimad Bhagavat, that Narada Muni is defeating with this verse. And what is it? What is it that continues even after the extinguishing of this material body? Ahang mameti. We see that in the first line of this verse. Nahang mameti bhavo yang. This ahang mameti bhava. This consciousness, this bhava, this consciousness of, yes, I exist. I am a separate person. And that I, in the previous birth, one had a concept that I was that material body. So the material body drops, but still one has the subtle body. So that I-ness still exists, that I still exist. And that not only do I exist, but mama, I have things. Things belong to me. That as a spirit soul, I can possess things. So this ahang mama iti bhava, this consciousness of ahang mama, this continues in the subtle body. And that it says, na vyavadhiyate, that for the purusha, this ahang mameti bhav, purushe, in that purusha, na vyavadhiyate, it doesn't become separated. Vyavadhiyate means separate, and na is at the beginning. So it says, na vyavadhiyate, that idea, that ahang mameti bhava, does not become separated from the jiva, from the subtle body. And then it describes the subtle body, yavad. The subtle body is that which is consisting of buddhi, mana, aksha, artha, guna, vyuha. Of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects, and material qualities. And attachment to material qualities. So that continues with the subtle body. So Srila Prabhupada describes here, the desires in the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego cannot be fulfilled without a gross body composed of the material elements, earth, water, air, fire, and ether. When the gross material body is not manifest, the living entity cannot factually act in the modes of material nature. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the subtle activities of the mind and intelligence continue due to the sufferings and enjoyments of the living entity's subtle body. The consciousness of material identification still continues because such consciousness has been extant from time immemorial. So this consciousness, this material consciousness, this concept of I and mind, has been existing since time immemorial. Even though the body completely, the gross body, well, at the time of death, it's completely finished. Put it in the fire. Burn it. No longer exists. But the consciousness, Ahang Mama, continues. And how does it continue? In the subtle body. And how long has it been existing? One may say, well, how long has this subtle body been existing? And it says, Anadiman. Anadiman means something which has the quality of beginninglessness. Just like Buddhiman means someone who is very intelligent. So Anadiman means something which has been existing since time immemorial. Or rather, to be more exact, which has been the origins of which it is not possible to trace out. There is a beginning to the subtle body in one sense. When one enters into this material world due to forgetfulness of Krishna, one enters into this material world, and at that point, time begins for us, for the jiva. So therefore, beginninglessness is a proper term. Because before that, time did not exist for the jiva. So this anadiman, this subtle body, has been existing since time immemorial. And according to its desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, it has been attracting earth, water, fire, air, ether, which is formed into various gross bodies for the fulfillment of those desires. And of course, this is all Krishna's plan, because he wants the jiva, being very much affectionate to the living entity, he wants the jiva to give up this separatist mentality. Krishna wants the jiva to understand that he is but a part and parcel of himself, of Krishna. He wants the jiva to understand this. So he has to, in order for him to exchange loving relationships with him. Krishna creates the jivas not out of some perverse desire to cause suffering, to have living entities. He doesn't create living entities so that they can suffer. This is not Krishna's business. Krishna's business is only to love. So there is no meaning to love without free will. So he creates innumerable jiva souls, and he gives them free will, because he wants to have loving exchanges with them all. And some of those jivas that are created by Krishna are very, very fortunate. And they immediately understand that they should serve the Supreme Lord. And they live with Krishna eternally in the spiritual world. But because free will means that sometimes one choice is made, sometimes another choice is made. So some of those jivas, they decide that actually I want to enjoy. So Krishna doesn't give up his love for those jivas. He still very much wants to have reciprocal loving relationships with them. So he creates this wonderful material world as a reformation house. That here you can come, you have your desires, you have your subtle body, you have so many desires. Okay, enjoy. Try. Give it your best try. And you, if you become very expert, if you become very expert, then we'll give you even better material bodies one after another. You can go to become a demigod. You can become such a famous personality within this material world. You can have so many different kinds of bodies according to your desire. And then out of this compassion that Krishna has, he says, what am I going to do? They're there suffering in the material world. How are they going to be delivered? I promised them that they, whatever their desires are, that they can fulfill them in this material world. That is my promise to them. And they're just going on and on, rotating in repeated birth and death, enjoying, suffering. They don't know anything better. So how? How to fix that situation? How to bring them back to me? So Krishna, knowing this desire of Krishna to reform the Baddha Jivas, the devotees of Krishna, who are already with Krishna in the spiritual world, they decide to come to this material world to rescue the fallen jiva souls and bring them, reform them and bring them back. So they come as bearers of wonderful news about the spiritual world. And according to, meanwhile, the material world is going through so many changes. There's the cycles of the four ages, different manus, and different countries and places and planets. So many different classes of living entities are there. So the devotees, they take on different appearances, different moods. They preach the same eternal truth about Krishna according to ways that will be understandable by the in the circumstances where they come. In certain countries, all they can understand is a certain thing, so therefore they preach according to that, and then different religions become established. So this variety of religious systems is all the plan of the Supreme Lord in order to gradually elevate the jiva souls to, in different places, to the supreme destination. So, because the subtle bodies are different, this ahang mameti manifests in infinite different ways. So different varieties of systems are required in order for the reformation to be carried out. So, example of how the many, many examples are there in the Shastra of how the activities in one life carry the subtle body to forward, even after the death of the gross body. There's one Puranic story about there was one group of Brahmins who were performing their brahminical duties, and one day, there was some confusion, and some Bhuta Prasad became confused for other Prasad. So those Brahmins, because they became confused and they were not careful in their brahminical activities, so they all ate some Bhuta Prasad, some ghosts, foodstuffs that were offered to ghosts. So then at the end of life, they came before, at the end of the gross body, they came before Yamaraj. And Yamaraj was pronouncing their future. He said, "You have to take birth as Bhutas. You have to take ghost bodies." "Why? What did we do wrong?" He said, "You ate some Bhuta Prasad. You weren't careful in your brahminical activities. You ate Bhuta Prasad, therefore you have to become Bhuta." So they were living in one... So we accept your judgment, but how will we be delivered from that body, from that situation? He said, "Someday you'll be living in a desert, and someday some Sadhu Vaishnava will come. And you can, if you serve them, that Sadhu Vaishnava, nicely, then you'll be delivered from your situation." So they were consigned to a place in the desert to carry out their ghostly activities. And it was going on for many years, and then one day that Sadhu, out of nowhere, a Sadhu Vaishnava came. And so immediately the Bhutas, they assumed forms in order to serve that Vaishnava. One became a tree in order to give shade to that Vaishnava. Others took human forms, and they gathered some foodstuffs and water, and they approached the Sadhu. "How can we serve you? Oh, I'm very hungry and thirsty in this desert. There's no food, no water." So they offered food and drink and shade, nice shade, to that Sadhu Vaishnava. And that Sadhu Vaishnava did kirtan, offered those foodstuffs and to the Supreme Lord, chanted the holy name. And then he took the remnants of that offering, and whatever was left, he gave to the Bhutas. So because of that, they take that Vishnu Prasad, those Bhutas, they immediately assumed demigod bodies. And the Sadhu Vaishnava saying, "Whoa, what is this? How is this? I've just given you some Mahaprasad, and immediately you're taking demigod bodies?" So they explained the whole situation, how they had become entangled in that ghostly existence. So So we can understand that by the according to the desires and the activities of a living entity, they may take a ghostly body, they may get a demigod body, whatever. In the subtle body is continuing, but various gross bodies continue. So if we understand, if we come to understand this, that there's gross body and subtle body, and then the jiva soul is something different from gross body and subtle body. If we understand these different levels, then we can, with proper discernment, we can decide how to conduct ourselves. Some people think that the gross body is everything. This one life is everything. So they want to do some good. They want to do some upakar for benefiting the people. So the upakar, they consider, okay, they open, so people are poor, they don't have enough to eat, so they open feeding centers. People are getting sick, so they open hospitals, etc., etc., for taking care of the gross bodies. But even so, the gross body, they may take care of the gross body, and the gross body may live longer, but because the subtle body is still continuing, that gross body will be finished and their suffering will continue. So that is upakar, but it is not ultimately beneficial for the living entity, for that living entity. So others, they understand, oh, the subtle body is existing. So let me do good, let me do upakar for the subtle body. Let me open university, and we will educate the public, or we open schools and colleges, and we'll educate the people on how to be successful in their material life. And then they will, so this will help the subtle body, and then they'll understand, and they'll be able to come to perhaps a higher body in the next life. So one nice verse from Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about this so-called upakar of education, material education. He says, jara vidya jata mayara vaibhava tomara bhajane bara moha janamiya anitya sangsare jivake koraye gadha. So this is the result of this material education, jara vidya, material education, jara vidya jata mayara vaibhava. This material education is what, opulence of maya. It's an opulence of the material world. And by that, tomara bhajane bara. One gets that. What does one do? One forgets to do bhajan. Forgetting bhajan, we just aspire for higher knowledge. And then what happens? Moha janamiya. Becoming bewildered. Anitya sangsare. One continually stays in this anitya sangsare. One remains within this eternal material world. Jivake koraye gada. One becomes a donkey. So this Ultimately, this material education just makes one a donkey. Srila Prabhupada also talked about how the people are going to the universities and they're getting big, big degrees, and then they have to go and beg for some service. Please give me some work. They go to some big corporation. Please give me some work. I can earn some paisa and live. So they become gada. They become simply a beast of burden for the those who are materially powerful. So subtle body, trying to develop the subtle body, is not the best upakar. Para upakar. Para upakar is described Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bharata bhumite hoila manushya janmajar janma sartaka kori kara. Para upakar. One should do the real welfare work, especially those who are born in India. They should take up the para upakar, which means not trying to help the material body, not trying to help the subtle body, but trying to help the spirit soul. Directly service to the spirit soul by giving spiritual knowledge, chanting the holy name, inducing people to take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is real benefit. And one can, and as Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport, however, last sentence of the purport, however, when one transfers to the spiritual world by virtue of understanding Krishna consciousness, the actions and reactions of both gross and subtle bodies no longer bother the spirit soul. So even though this anadiman, this subtle body, is apparently beginningless, it can be terminated. It can have an end through the process of Krishna consciousness. Through the process of Krishna consciousness, one no longer has any need for gross and subtle body. One can serve Krishna in a body ideally suited for serving Krishna, which is a spiritual body. And one doesn't need the gross and subtle body any longer. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions, comments from the Vaishnavas?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I have heard this statement from some devotees. I want to confirm what is the reference that Srila Prabhupada said that ultimate compassion is to deliver oneself. Is there any reference to it?
Ultimate compassion is to deliver oneself? I don't know. I'm not an expert on, I don't have the folio memorized, so I don't know what Srila Prabhupada has said, but ultimate compassion, the point being made, perhaps, by Srila Prabhupada, is that one cannot be compassionate without first being compassionate to oneself. So ultimately, any kind of compassion has to take first into consideration that one must deliver oneself, because if one is not liberated oneself, one cannot help to liberate others. Whatever one's misconceptions are existing, if one tries to help others, those misconceptions will be transferred to those, so it's not real compassion. I don't know exactly what is said. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. What is the solution if we don't give Jada Vidya to the children?
Like, if we don't?
What is the alternative? Like, you ask, you are telling about that we jadavidya jata jiveka banaye gadha, means a newborn children after 5 years of age. So what is the alternative? How we train him? And
oh yeah,
because Prabhupada said that these schools are like slaughterhouses.
Well, we have to, we jadavidya is required, but if that's what you're referring to, that jadavidya is required, but so how do we educate our children? Well, they should be educated in how to exist within this material world, for sure, because they have this material body, they have to live, they have to exist within the material world, but they should understand the ultimate purpose of life. So the education has to be their education has to be in such a way that they also understand the temporary nature of this material world and the ultimate solution to the material problems. So either by having schools which teach both at the same time together, or at least if that's not possible, then that let them go and get the jadavidya in the school, and then take some time also to learn about spiritual subject matters as practical. Nice question. Thank you. I should have mentioned that in the class. Something else? Yes, Prabhuji. Microphone, please. Pass it.
Haribo. Prabhuji, my question is that we have heard that the spirit soul is, even though in this material body, gross and subtle bodies, he is not influenced by this gross and subtle bodies. These coverings are superfluous to the soul. At the same time, we have heard that as soon as a living entity forgets Krishna, Maya immediately catches that jiva. So what is that Maya catching the jiva? Because the soul is not influenced by these coverings. So
Nikatastha Maya Jari
Japatiyadhihare.
Maya is very close by, ready to grab at any time and throw us into the material world. That's referring to the jivas in the vidaja. That the Maya is just right next door, ready to grab them as soon as they turn their face to her. So the jiva is not affected in the sense that they may have a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, but their nature as jiva remains. They're still eternal servants of Krishna. That is still their eternal nature does not change by that. Just by them coming to the material world, they're still part and parcel of Krishna. That is not their innate propensity to love and serve Krishna is not lost. Okay? Can you say again? I didn't hear.
According with this translation of this verse, we is stated that the senses are also part of a subtle body, and sense objects also.
Yeah.
It is not clear even how sense objects can be part of our subtle body.
There are subtle forms. It's referring to the subtle form of the senses, and the that's all I can say. The senses and sense objects also have but it's not sense objects actually. There's some subtle form of the senses, sense objects that must be being referred to here. I can't say authoritatively what that is. Come. Where is that said? It sounds like a good possibility, but I'm just curious as to where it's. In a conversation. Yes. An idea of senses and sense. Perhaps that's what's being referred to here. Yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.